We doing it? We're recording. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. When I get paid on the 21st, we'll go lucky style.
Okay.
I'm gonna walk in, pop a squat in the middle of the fucking restaurant, take a big shit, and order a hot pot for two.
And then they'll be like, "These are our people."
Yeah. bring out the baiju.
A person of the people.
Bring out the baiju. Shit's like a kaiju.
Bars, what the fuck? Oh, fuck, I got...
Oh, that's good. That's good podcasting. Lawrence is just choking on my dick. Sorry.
Just style podcasting there. I hope y'all like the ASMR. Oh, Jesus.
You're the one that seems to hold the mic, like, to your glass when you're drinking.
Oh, yeah, well...
Your glug glug sounds like...
I'm trying to stay, like, you know, disciplined with, like, the distance.
I sent you that Celine Dion video, right?
Yeah, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
Right?
When she needs to slap on a cock, she sucks. She moves the mic away. I guess. And then moves back. That's it. Well, what's wrong with you?
Excuse me.
You were fine a minute ago.
Olive went down the wrong hole. Mm-mm. I shoved the olive up my ass, and it's come all the way back up my throat.
Muy picante.
Excuse me, damn.
Muy picante.
I'm emotional, okay? Mm. This is why I hate good movies.
You didn't like feeling shit.
I hate movies that make me feel shit. Because I'm like watching this fucking movie, and I'm like, damn, I should call my mom. Damn, it's my
brother's
birthday today.
That movie made you want to call your mom?
it's a funny feeling for you, isn't it? You don't think about calling your mom. Sometimes I do, yeah. I'm like, damn, there's so many people I'm letting down, and like life is so fleeting, and I need to start making plans and doing better.
You feel like you're letting down. You don't feel letting anyone down. What are you talking about?
Well, I appreciate you saying that. And often there are times when I don't feel that way. Mm-hmm. But when I'm watching a film, it makes me feel shit. I start feeling shit, and it feels too much. I feel too much.
See, to me, that sounds like a lack of empathy. Like, you can have empathy with the characters on screen without feeling sorry for yourself like a sad sack.
Yeah. So a lack of empathy for
it's
myself.
It's like your autistic little brain is going. These people are sad.
Yeah.
Why am I sad? I must think of all the reasons. I must make myself sad to be. You just watch the movie and feel sad.
Yeah.
For the characters.
Yeah.
Empathize with the characters, not with your own fucking bitch problems.
Isn't that what it's supposed to do? Isn't that what a good movie should do?
Mm.
Like, yes, I'm watching the film. Yes, I'm living in the shoes of these characters. As this film especially, like, invites you to step into the life and the perceived history of like the screen queen of Japanese cinema. But at the same time, I'm like. You know, the movie of my life is...
What would you call it?
Very sad movie. It seems so sad.
Your life movie seems sad.
But it does end. It does end. Mm-hmm. And where will I be where it ends? You know? When I step into my spaceship and shoot into the stars, what am I going to be thinking? Who am I going to be chasing? Like, yeah.
You're really feeling it.
Yeah, yeah. We watched Millennium Actress. this is like the third or fourth time I've seen this film. Mm-hmm. Each time I see it, I get something new from it. I felt that shit. See, if you were watching something like World God Only Knows, like, my brain is switched the fuck off.
Yeah, but why would you ever want to switch your brain off? Like, I didn't get that.
It feels good. I didn't get that
impulse.
Ticking down the seconds, ticking down the minutes, like, just embracing my inevitable demise with open arms, being like, all of this was meaningless. The time I've spent watching this shit was entirely meaningless. I am living the universal truth. Mm.
You're chasing death.
Yeah.
Chase life. To make the, to watch think, watch and read and do things that make you feel.
I do.
But not feel yourself.
But, But sometimes I don't want to feel, and that's that void. It never stays a void. You fill it with something. You always find some sort of meaning. You always find some sort of like a way to create out of the nothingness. Like a void doesn't exist. It's like impossible.
Impossible void. Getting pretty deep here. The Millennium Actress. It reminded me a little bit of only a little bit in terms of the way I think there was some inspiration drawn from Orlando, Virginia Woolf's Orlando, which I read recently. The way she traverses time.
Hell yeah.
And there's also the talk of how the pursuit of this man kept her young. Was what one of that, and then Orlando is ageless because Queen Elizabeth bestowed on her a ring that and made her her favorite and said never get old.
And the way
in which you sort of have these rushing scenes of the spirit of the age being captured in each moment. Was very Orlando like. Orlando's not a love quest necessarily, although. For part of Orlando's life, Orlando decides that she must find life and a lover. In order to keep up with the spirit of the time.
Did you think Millennium Actress was a quest for love? Was it like searching for a distant true love?
Is it a quest for love? It was a. She found a meaning to her life. And despite the fact that what she was pursuing was meaningless, she still had a life with meaning. And it meant so much to that fucking pervert, the seat sniffer.
It meant so much to the pervert, but it means, but that pervert stands in for all of us. He's the seat sniffer that we all are. I think, each time I see this film, I take something new from it because. It inspires me to watch more movies, to watch more IRL cinema, the worst form of a cinema in comparison to 2D art. I'm loath to use the phrase love letter again, but like it's a glowing pan to the films of this era. And the women that like were the faces of these films, that sort of captured the imaginations of thousands of people, formed culture around them basically. And since having seen a Millennium Actress the first time, it was like 2014, I think 2014, 2015. And I wanted to know what are all of the films that this film is referencing, you know? And I've gone through it, and I've watched a number of those films, and I've seen the women that she's based on.
Okay, yeah.
Because she's sort of like an amalgamation of like many screen queens of Japanese cinema. And the film covers like many periods in Japanese cinema as well, but like I think mostly it focuses on like the pre-war and post-war, right?
It also reminded me of I watched this YouTube documentary by this guy called One Dime, who made a two-part documentary called Why the Cultural Revolution Failed. Lessons for Leftists, about the Chinese Cultural Revolution, and in that, a lot of it is focused on one of the main characters is this Chinese actress who sort of plays a similar role in traversing time and revolutions. Yeah. She survived the Cultural Revolution, all that shit. That was super interesting. I wish I could remember her name. And what's it called? This Chinese revolutionary film queued up to watch for a while. I need to watch it.
Oh hell yeah!
like a sort of revolutionary opera musical thing.
Ooh, that sounds great.
It looks really cool. I wish I could remember what it's called. But No, because he uses clips from loads of great-looking Chinese revolutionary films in there, and so I asked him for a list, and I've got a list of them now. I need to try and find them. Hard to find, though.
Excellent.
Hard to find translated.
Yeah. That's a whole nother world. That's like a completely different world of like a cinema styling I know nothing about. Mm.
But it sucks, because like, you're watching these clips, and they clearly have a great cultural value to watch now, but it's hard to fucking find them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they weren't like exported as widely.
I don't know. People seem to have this
like communism wasn't very very much liked throughout most of the world for most of history.
Yeah, and it always still gets a bad rap now. Mao wasn't all bad.
Now it's probably the worst it's ever been.
I'm saying Mao. Oh, but now it's the worst it's ever been. I was saying Mao. But
Oh, right.
I'm not sure now it's worse. Now is the worst it's ever been. They're not necessarily, although Bad Orange Man has sort of been talking about rounding them all up again.
Yeah, there's the theory of being deeply unserious as well, which I think is the key to understanding a Marxism. From how often I see it.
I told you about that fucking newspaper.
We
talked about that last episode.
Yeah.
That fucking. What is it? They're called the Revolutionary Communist Party. It's supposed to be a new international movement, but it's just the militants rebranded. Militant tendency. It's just them rebranded. Yeah. They rebranded themselves as Marxist tendency, and now they're. Revolutionary Communist Party.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we're not talking about communism. We're talking about Millennium Fatress.
Millennium Mattress. what does Millennium Mattress play? The band.
Now I think it would make a real good like smooth sex music band.
Yeah. You think it's a bit on the nose, the name?
Yeah. Oh, Millennium Mattress. They could also play I mean, if we were going to be real about what they would play now, it'd be one of those well-bred looking art bitches saying bad poetry while some well-dressed dudes play whatever.
Sure.
Blah, blah, indie music.
Okay. Yeah, I love
like, love what's that poetry. What's that other band? Like, Dry Cleaning, like fucking Dry Cleaning.
Yeah. Is that a band?
Yeah.
That's a terrible name for a band.
Yeah. They're not a great band. Used to play. I hadn't heard them, but two of them used to play in a band that we used to play with all the time. We played with them all the time because our keyboard player was in their band.
So we've watched three Satoshi Kon films so far. What's your verdict? Do you see like a through line in his films?
He loves to break the fourth wall.
Yeah.
His films are a comment on like mass culture and media.
Japan.
The deeply tortured female protagonists. Memory.
Mm-hmm. The blending of fiction and
getting
reality.
getting hit by trucks. All three that we've watched three or four?
Three. Of them, yeah.
Every single one of them, there is a pivotal moment where someone is almost hit by a truck.
That's true. Yeah.
It's that same scene.
Yeah, no, you're right.
But
I think there are like some really interesting parallels between Millennium Actress and Perfect Blue, in the way that it sort of observes like this female cultural star, and sort of tries to understand their internal worlds. The difference being Mima in Perfect Blue, I think, is more of a character, whereas Chiyoko in Millennium Actress is more like a projection of a character. I think that what is more significant than this person as she is is like the people that she's represented over time.
But also she's the Madonna, like they say towards the end. She's this virginal character that they even if she gets married or whatever, like, but
yeah.
there's no hint of sex to anything they project into her. It's the perfect virgin, yeah, waiting for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Will you wait for me? I'll wait for you.
Yeah, but that's like that's a form of desire as well. Mm. They took these virginal looking beauties and made them into something to be desired, projected them throughout time as like these desirable figures. And I've had perverts like Genya, the documentarian, and perverts all over the world project their own wants and needs.
But he's an innocent seat sniffer.
He's
sniffing the seat only to take in the full scent of woman.
There is a great range to perversity. It isn't always like a bad thing. There's like when we watch films, it's voyeurism. We're doing voyeurism all the time. We think we get to.
Definitively think, so. That's not the case. Like voyeurism is it involves an invasion.
Yeah,
and we're not invading. These are films that have been made for you to watch. They are not.
These are people with like individual lives who have like a real individual world.
But
made into these film projections that we cast our fantasies onto.
You're just misusing language because a voyeur does not observe the exhibitionist.
Huh?
The voyeur doesn't observe the exhibitionist.
They're not necessarily exhibitists.
Someone who's producing.
Working, aren't they?
They're artists. But this is a thing that's maybe... A voyeur observes an unwilling subject.
Uh-huh.
We're not observing unwilling subjects. We're observing art that's been made for people. Films that have been made for... Or just pure fucking trash.
But there are degrees to voyeurism, too. We're like peeking into these people's lives. We don't actually know who Chiyoko is, and in a way Chiyoko doesn't really tell us who she is either. She like recollects her career and her own emotional states, her own wants and desires are sort of blended with the career that she's had and the films that she's appeared in. We don't actually get to know who the person was that she was pursuing, what the key opens. It was
it was her chastity belt. You missed that scene. Strapped on. She was just trying to fucking. open up a cunt.
I've seen this film four times. I missed that. That's crazy. But you're not far off. I don't think the key. What do you think the key opens? Spoiler. I think it's to herself.
What?
I think the key opens.
The key is to herself.
Opens herself. I think.
The key must either open something that maybe doesn't exist anymore, but the key opens something.
Mm-hmm.
The key doesn't open it. Oh, metaphorically.
Well, yeah.
The key is the key to the engine of her life. When she is in possession of the key, her life moves forward. She pursues this character, then things change. When she loses the key, she's stuck in homeostasis, towards death.
Yeah.
Well, and then the key gives her the final push onwards.
I mean, like in a literal sense, in like a diegetic sense, we see like the case that the mysterious man. Has with him like carrying, I don't know, is his paints or whatever. And there's a padlock on it, and supposedly it opens that. But in the early period of her life, we get a scene where she is sort of trying. A film exec is trying to convince her mother to like get into. The film business, right?
Yeah.
Whether this was something that actually took place or whether this was like something from a movie. It's like it's unclear.
Yeah, because some classic Satoshi Kon.
Yeah, some classic shit right there, yeah. For real. So this key, I think it's just serves as a significant metaphor for this person who has devoted her life to a film, has become like a significant cultural icon because of the power of movies, has produced masses of fans that adore her, that memorize her films line for line, that insert themselves into the films. Mm-hmm. But we never know who Chiyoko really is. Like, who is this person? What were her own desires? And, what was going on inside of this person that everyone has an idea of who she is? You feel me?
You lost me at the end. So you're saying everyone has a...
Everyone
is projecting something into.
Yeah, everyone has their own personal Fujiwara Chiyoko in their heads. Mm-hmm. I don't think you really get that anymore, like a screen queens. I think they're all a bit more replaceable, aren't they? I mean, like who is a screen queen?
I don't know actors.
No, me neither.
Yeah, do you know them all? You know all the names.
No, I don't.
Being off to them.
No, I would never stray away from my 2D waifus. Sydney Sweeney can fuck off. Zoe Saldana can fuck off. I don't know them either. No. So there's a couple of people that she's based on. I've watched a couple of films by that starred this actress named Hideko Takamine, who sort of served as, you can imagine her as sort of a Shirley Temple type, mm-hmm. in Japanese cinema. This was like, mm-hmm. before the war, and she was like, in the same way Shirley Temple, like, danced with minstrel.
You know what I've always wanted?
What's
a Betty Page type bitch.
Betty Page.
Yeah, I got a thing for Betty Page type bitches.
Who's Betty Page? Who's she?
She's like black hair, like pin-up-y type.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a Betty Page type thing.
Yeah, a bit of a...
That's what I want. Like dark hair, red lips.
Well, just stay on Bumble. You'll find your Betty Page. If you're happy with her being about a little bit wider.
Well, that's the thing. Loads of fat birds dress like Betty Page. They do the Betty Page thing.
Just stick with it, Chad. And lower your standards just a little.
I don't have high. It's not a high standards thing. It's just an affordability type thing.
just economics.
It's just economics. Like when we put this bed up, one of the legs is missing. So like, you know.
Oh yeah, you don't want a lawsuit on your head. Dude.
Sorry, you were saying something probably actually smart.
No,
trying to be a smart
person. I'm just bragging about like all of the references I recognize. Yeah. Like you're not the only one that watches smart films, Joss. I'm smart too sometimes. Yeah. So, yeah. Where was I? Hideko Takamine. She starred in a couple of films directed by Mikio Naruse, who is a director in like his biggest films were like in post-war Japan, working in the genre of shomingeki, which is like the common people films. Mm-hmm. You translate that as common people dramas. Are you familiar with Yasujirō Ozu?
Nope.
Yasujirō Ozu, he's sort of like one of the biggest directors in Japan. Mm-hmm. Sort of like
Is he the guy that did Shoplifters?
Oh no,
that's the only guy I know. I don't know what his name is.
That's Kore-eda.
I re-downloaded that recently. I'm gonna rewatch it.
Hell yeah. No, fucking love fantastic. That film. I love his shit. What you should watch by Kore-eda is his first film, Maboroshi, which is haunting, this deeply haunting.
I love a good
meditation
haunting.
Yeah. On like grief and lost love.
Mm-hmm.
I think it might be one of my favorite films.
Sick. Right. Like, send me a message with it and I'll download it.
Yeah, no, I'll do that. And if you're interested in traveling back to the 1950s, Yasujiro Ozu, Mikio Naruse, they made films about like just common Japanese folks and the sort of anxiety and dread that the post-war sort of like brought along with it.
Mm-hmm. Like, sounds like my kind of thing.
Sound of the Mountain, mm-hmm. Is a Mikio Naruse film that stars Setsuko Hara, which she's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And she's another actress that I think inspired the character of Fujiwara Chiyoko. It's about this family, this dysfunctional family after the Second World War. And the husband was on the front lines, came back fucked up. And the way he sort of dealt with that was cheating on his
beating the shit out of
his dutiful wife. Not quite, but just cheating on her.
Okay, all right.
Just cheating on her a whole lot.
You ever been a cheater?
No.
You never been a cheater?
No.
You never cheated?
No.
You must have cheated.
No. I don't.
Okay, fuck out.
No, that's a very mean thing
to do. It is mean.
You hurt people that way. Like.
Yeah. I mean, I've cheated and been cheated on.
Like, I've helped ladies cheat. Yeah. I've done that plenty. But I'm like, well, this guilt is on you. I'm just here for the nut, and so are you. I can understand that. But you got to deal with the fallout.
I'm not a habitual cheater by a long shot.
But yeah, the hurt that it brings to people's lives is real, and like
one of my first childhood loves was a cheating, got cheated upon.
Huh.
Yeah. It was a where were we? It must have been
that hasn't affected you in any way.
Must have been 15. I was a young punk, and it was New Year's Eve. She was she was like a skinny nerdy bitch, quite pretty, was into like Interpol and shit.
Pointy much?
She was pointy, yeah, she was pointy. It was New Year's Eve, and to get to the New Year's Eve party, we had to walk across a field, and I was wearing my big fucking military boots and looking like a scumbag.
Sure,
and
like Travis Bickle.
Got to this fucking house, and my boots were covered in mud. And I walked mud all through the house.
Yeah.
And the bitch whose parents' house it was like, who the fuck walked mud through my house? Get out. And so I got out and left this bitch at the party. And she cheated on me there and then in that fucking party.
Damn.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't take your shoes off. That's what happens.
If you
respected the Japanese culture, you'd have taken them off at the door.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps you wouldn't be as fucked up as you are today.
You said I'm fucked up. You said I'm fucked up. You need to judge.
Yeah.
I'm perfectly sane.
Sound of the Mountain. I recommend that one. Mm-hmm. And Yasujiro Ozu, he's got like his films have like this really languid pace, and they're very. Very formal, very like slow and restrained, but there's an artfulness and like a care to them that is kind of mesmerizing. Tokyo Story, I recommend that one. Late Spring, both of them star Setsuko Hara. You see her once and she's burned into your memory. The toothy smile and her
toothy vagina.
Yeah.
Vagina dentata.
Yeah. And then having seen these films, I can put myself in the shoes of the director of Satoshi Kon and perhaps sort of think of like these stars. I think he was too young to have like seen them in his prime, but like you know, being a film nerd, you go back to that shit and you're like, hold up, people were so different back then. How were people like so fucking beautiful? They have like this etherealness.
Well, it's because they caked their face with like an inch of fucking extra strong lead filled makeup, right?
Sure. And they had like hundreds of burning lights pointing at them at all times. And there's plenty of reasons you can think of why they looked the way they did. Mm-hmm. They also had like those pointy bras that made their made their titties pointy. Mm-hmm.
And they bred them in the perfect Japanese baby factories, through the perfect Japanese breeding programs.
You don't get them triangle titties anymore, do you? It's like
you don't get triangle titties anymore. No. I'm working on a pair of little triangle tees.
Yeah.
It's kind of where I'm at right now.
Bringing it back.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We need to set the example. Be the triangle tee you want to see in the world. But yeah, you can imagine he's like looking at these being like, who are these like ethereal beings? And rather than,
Stop me if you maybe heard this one before, but this sounds a little bit like Orientalism, my friend.
Well, he's watching a lot of Oriental films. No, you could say the same
these
thing
about... These ethereal Orientals. It's
you could say the same about like Western film stars and like the way that they looked in the silent film era, which was like...
Name one.
You know, I've replaced all of it with Japanese names and faces now.
You fucking weep.
I studied this shit, but like I can't remember the names. Yeah. But like the silent era was like you didn't need to talk, so all you had to do was like be stunning all the time. So you had like just a bunch of babes with like remarkable like faces, appearances, and as soon as like sound came into the picture, you had ones that were like beautiful, but they...
Hello, I'm a want to be in a movie. Can I be in a movie, please?
Yes, precisely.
I want to be in another movie.
Yeah, so they just sort of like disappeared, and they were replaced by others.
That was how Marilyn Monroe first sounded when they wheeled her out. Yeah. Marilyn.
Yeah. How do you feel about Marilyn Monroe?
Mid.
Yeah.
Mid.
Yeah.
But I think blonde people are the devil.
You do?
Yeah. Not into blonde bitches.
No, I see.
Yeah. I don't think she was a real blonde either, but she was like she bleached.
I don't know.
I thought she was bleached. And kind of fat too.
Yeah, that's what I was fishing for. That's what I was like. we've gotta stop watching anime, because like your sense of proportions.
You think I've never tasted women before? What the fuck are you on about?
you've re-virgined yourself. You've watched enough anime to become a virgin again.
Hey, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Millennium actress. Mm.
It's the bit where we say the movie again.
You were were you being real stoic and like trying not to cry because I was here?
No.
Or did you like not feel any tears well up?
I actually didn't feel any tears well up in this one.
No.
I don't know. But I've been crying to a lot of movies lately. I've been crying fucking every day to the fucking things. Yeah. This one didn't hit me that way.
I think I've got like a soft spot for films about films. Mm. Like it's a meta narrative about how art changes you, how films make you into who you are.
Make you into the monster you are today.
Yeah.
You got a number one favorite film?
Number one favorite film? Well, you know, when you put me on the spot like this, it's hard to come up with one. But like, I'm gonna go with my Buddha Shi in this case. Like,
okay. That's the one you mentioned earlier. Right?
Yeah. I think it might be like
Send me that shit.
I'll send you it.
Yeah.
No problemo.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. I'm not so as like into movies as I used to be.
Yeah. A movie where if someone said, "Let's stick this on," you would never say no.
Maburashi? Mm. If someone stick that on at a party, it'd be a terrible party. But I wouldn't say
You're not going to sit and watch a movie at a party, are you?
Yeah.
What movie party is it?
Movie party, you know, movie like the conversation dies down, the snacks have been half eaten, and someone says, "Hey, you want to watch a film?"
No. What? What sort of party is this?
Well, I mean, not like party, but like, you know, get together, gathering.
Yeah. You wouldn't watch a gathering?
Yeah, but I don't know. I think the thing that people would tend to in such instances is like cooking show or like
cooking show.
Yeah, or
what
like
fucking parties. Are you
funny
going to?
Film.
You're just talking about going to their house.
Yeah.
It's not a party.
I don't mean party. I mean
just going around a friend's house for dinner. Then you sit down and watch fucking cooking shows or whatever's on Netflix afterwards.
Not a party.
Yeah.
Why'd you phrase it that way then?
Because I can't say their names on the podcast.
No. The era of putting people on blast is behind
blow
us.
Blow and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out what the fuck you're talking about, these parties where everyone stops and watches a movie.
Wild parties. That's the kind of parties that I enjoy. Like, you're shoving fucking mushrooms in your face, and I'm like stopping people and be like, "Hey, it's movie time.
Let's watch Nailed It. Let's watch Fry Masters. What's it called? Deep Fried Masters.
Deep Fried Masters is
it's fucking sick. Good.
There's a turning point in the movie where Chiyoko is in a jidaigeki, a period drama set in feudal Japan. In a scene that I think is based off of Throne of Blood by Akira Kurosawa.
Mm-hmm.
Which I also recommend. It's a really cool adaptation of Macbeth.
Kurt Kurosawa did Rashomon, yeah?
Yeah.
You ever read Rashomon?
Yes, yeah, on your recommendation. Told me I should read that shit, and I did. Yeah.
Did you get to hell screen in that book? Did I give you that?
No. I downloaded this shit.
Okay. Did you read Hellscreen?
Not yet. You got to
read Hellscreen.
Sure. Yeah.
It's in his collected short stories.
Yeah. No, I got the one. Hellscreen's in there.
Yeah. Hellscreen's fucking great. Okay. The nose is really good as well.
Yeah.
not quite as good as Gogol's nose. Two very different noses. You have Gogol's nose?
No.
Gogol's nose is fucking great. Russian. Right. The guy who wrote Vui.
Yeah.
Vui. His nose is really good.
Okay, yeah.
Goggles nose.
I'll check that out.
Yeah.
So what was I talking about? Oh, right, yeah. Throne of Bloods, a Macbeth adaptation by Kurosawa. And I think the witch in this scene is based on the witch in Throne of Bloods.
Okay.
And she curses Chiyoko's character. And she says, "You will burn in the flames of eternal love."
Mm-hmm.
What do you think that means?
Well, love is fucking torment.
Yeah. But did she mean her love for this stranger?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Well, you're thinking it could also mean the love of the people, the...
Yes.
It didn't seem to me that she was tormented by her fame.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think so.
No, there isn't like any like
she walks through the streets
expression
freely.
Of like torment in the movie from her per se, but when you think about the way that the film is framed, like her career on screen, and how much of the real Chiyoko we get to see, which is very little, and the kind of pain and loss she holds on to at the end, but is able to regain by getting that key back, the key to which we don't know what it opens.
Alex.
A lighter?
No.
Oh, sorry. The key to which we don't know what it opens. You have to imagine, because of how adored she was, because of the symbol that she became, like this painting on the wall, this like a thing, this iconic figure. How much of herself did she get to be? How much of herself was she able to?
Well, she got to live for years herself, out on her own with her fat wife. What could you? Well, this sounds like your dream.
But to get to that point, she had to go through a lot as well. She was like bullied by her co-stars, groomed by a director. We don't see these as being like these life-changing or like dramatically affecting things. But if you're familiar with showbiz and the kind of shit that goes on behind the scene, you can sort of picture like what kind of what's been going on for her as well, right? And she was tormented by people's desire for her to see her on screen, to have their fantasies fulfilled. That's what I think. That's what kept coming back to me when that line came up.
Yeah, could be an interesting double meaning. Well, to be loved, to be adored, but never to love. Never to have love.
Yeah. It's a kind of torment. It's an affecting line, isn't it? Like, I think when you view this sappy, lost love romance, Fred, not so much as like a real romance, but more as like a metaphorical reality, it becomes so much more significant and stronger. Another thread that runs through this romance aspect was what this stranger represented, which was like this anti-imperialist rebellion against the Japanese military might and expansionism.
The anti-government painter.
Yeah.
I'll never be an anti-government painter.
No.
I'll probably never be an anti-government soldier.
No.
What would I be?
Anti-government podcaster.
Anti-government cocksucker.
Yeah, you could do that too, I guess.
Suck dick for the proletariat. Yeah.
We're doing some great anti-government podcasting. I think we came up with some hot commentary.
You seen that the bitch put some sambas on?
Huh?
You seen this?
Who?
Fucking Rwanda Rishi.
What about him?
He wore some fresh, some box fresh sambas in a news interview.
Kamala Harris.
He wore some box fresh sambas.
Taking cool notes from Kamala.
There's a conspiracy theory there's a conspiracy theory that Nike bought them for him.
Oh, what the fuck? They drop one racist in Kanye West for another racist. Wow, dude, the people making decisions over at Nike are geniuses.
Yeah, incredible.
Where'd you put that lighter?
I'm now less interested in getting a pair of Velo Sambas for the summer.
But those are Adidas. What did the
Nike bought them. Nike bought Rishi Adidas, the most
like
popular
that.
Adidas shoe, the shoe that everyone's fucking wearing.
Oh,
ketchup.
I thought Samba was like a type of shoe rather than
You know, it's the Adidas Sambas, the biggest shoe around currently.
Right. Like, I thought they were like, I see. Oh.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
It's hilarious.
Oh, wait. Kanye wasn't signed to Nike. He was signed to like Adidas.
He was Adidas.
I'm fucking up.
Yeah. He's got a number one album again.
Yeezy?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Top of the charts.
I didn't realize.
Yeah.
It's not great. No.
Yeah. I mean, I don't care what he says or does really is. So.
Yeah. Good for him, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, and that fucking was that the Netanyahu thing? That was fucking funny. That was good.
What? Netanyahu?
No, he went on Alex Jones. He went on Alex Jones with a little fishing net and a bottle of Yahoo.
Right. You should get Yeezy on the podcast.
People have already done that joke.
We should get Yeezy on. We could get him to talk about Akira.
We need farm fresh British racists.
You were on a bit of a Yeezy kick, weren't you? Did you keep that up, or were you like, I got the picture?
I think I got three albums in. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just need to go back and remind myself where it began. He's come a long way.
It's a real journey, the Kanye on the albums, mm-hmm. the Kanye we have in our hearts, and the Kanye that we see on the screen on X on Twitter.
What's he doing to these bitches? Because his nutty new wife.
Yeah,
she's mad. It's great.
Yeah,
but that pussy that grips like a fucking.
You reckon?
It grips like fucking like a vice.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah.
You think it yanks?
Yeah.
I hope so for Kanye. I just want him to be happy.
Inshallah, the pussy does grip like a vice.
We've seen three Satoshi Kon films now.
We have, yeah.
How would you rank them? Fave to least fave.
Tokyo Godfathers. Then what was the other one? Perfect Blue.
Perfect Blue.
Then this one.
Yeah. Okay.
You got a different ranking?
It's difficult.
It's not that hard. It's three movies.
I'm not sure now. I think I'd put Millennium Actress at the top.
Ooh.
Yeah. And then Perfect Blue and Tokyo Godfathers are like struggling. Perfect Blue comes in second. Tokyo Ooh. Godfathers is first.
What have you got against problematic representations of trans people?
What indeed? I thought they were so good with the problematicism.
At least you never said. Reminder, your friend, though. I am a biological man.
Oh dear. I just like the surreal blending of fact and fiction that Perfect Blue and Millennium Actress does, and
nothing beats a plain old good story though.
Yeah,
a good story well told.
Well, I certainly don't dislike Tokyo Godfathers, and in a way, it is like the more subtle blend of fact and fiction, because it's like a Christmas. It's a Christmas story. Mm-hmm. It's about Christmas miracles. Mm-hmm. It's not about like it's not about reality. It's like the reality of like what if Christmas was magic, right? Mm-hmm. That's sort of
our Christmas isn't magic. Hold up. Our Christmas isn't magic.
Our Christmases have been magical. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. That's what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Can it be Christmas already?
No, we gotta. I need a fucking summer. I need a summer so bad.
I love, you know that.
I need to get my dick wet, and I need to get my dick wet in the summer.
You know that TikTok. It's the lady that's like, wow, it's Christmas tomorrow. Incredible. Like,
why would I know this TikTok?
Oh, it's pretty, it's pretty well known. It's good. I'll show it to you later. I like that video a lot.
Yeah,
I can't believe.
You watch anything else good on TikTok?
No.
TikToking?
No, I don't.
Watch those 16-year-old girls that go whoop whoop.
Whoop whoop whoop. No, this shit's terrifying. He seemed to
I'm
be.
I'm a dog. I'm a dog.
Is that what they do on TikTok these days?
I'll suck a dick. I'll suck a dick.
Oh dear.
That's what that.
So, what stuck with you in a Millennium Actress?
What stuck with me? I think I loved the way that her own story, no matter where her art took her, and what character she was playing, her own story, she found her own connection to each of those stories.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that was how she was a good actress.
Yeah,
she was always chasing them.
And you
get that when you watch a good movie, like you were saying earlier, you tied it to your story, you read in your own bullshit to it.
So was that a good thing to do or a bad thing to do? I'm still not sure.
No, I mean, I think what you described was a little self-pitying.
But
I do think that what's like when you read good philosophy, when you read good philosophy, it's like, this guy's fucking telling me what I thought all along, but I could never say it in these words. Or there has a way of sort of, you read into it what you were thinking all along, whatever. No, it's the same with a good movie or a good piece of art, a good piece of work.
You mainlining this shit now? Like all of these, the Finnish director, what's his name?
Aki Kaurismäki.
Yeah. So, like, are you like getting fueled the fuck out with each of these? Are you like,
Oh, yeah. Boiling my fucking eyes out.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Really good. He has so much love for his characters.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes you watch it because he writes the screenplays for a lot of his films as well. Like, and you can watch a film and you can tell when the director or the writer has no love for the characters, whose stories he's telling. This guy, like, he's got them deep in his heart. Like, he cares about them.
I feel like I haven't seen something like that in a long time.
It's fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
Started with the Proletariat trilogy, which was very good. Sort of three films set around workers and their plight. The way in which he sees that Finland sort of let down the working class and created a sort of underclass. And then so after the Proletariat trilogy, all of them as well have this. Not all of them, most of them. A lot of his films have this stories based around just unconditional love, like love that exists through pain or whatever, and it's not necessarily a fiery love. In fact, it's never a fiery love.
Yeah,
but it is unconditional, and that wins out in the end. It's about the ingenuity of the downtrodden. It's about solidarity and that finding solidarity in the lowest of places.
Yeah.
It's about the coldness of bureaucracy as well.
I'm gonna cry just listening to this shit.
Yeah. And then after that I watched the Loser trilogy.
Yeah.
Which is again about workers, but these guys in the Proletariat trilogy, they're very good-hearted people that are really down on their luck. The Loser trilogy, they're just kind of fucking losers.
Damn.
Like they're not bad. They're not bad guys, but like they're not fucking good guys either. They're losers.
Hell yeah. Relatable.
Mm, 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 mm.
Shit, maybe I should start watching movies.
You should watch a few of these.
Okay. But how, when will I be able to watch anime? How do I fit in time to play fighting games?
Just like, don't watch trash on YouTube.
Don't watch trash on YouTube.
You do that? Do you watch, just watch garbage on YouTube?
No, not like, you know, on its own, but I'll like have a window open when I'm gaming, or like when I'm at work, I'll have like some nerds like tell me I'm deeply unserious. I don't ever sit down for a YouTube video, really. Unless it's a guide on Chun-Li's.
You watch the new ContraPoints?
No.
That's good.
What's it about?
It's about fucking
Is it about YouTube drama?
No. Okay. It's about, what's it called? Twilight. But it's not about Twilight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like fun.
Yeah. It is really good. She does it like none of the others do it.
I watched all of those films.
Yeah.
I think I watched one in cinemas.
Yeah. Did you really?
I think so.
You fucking faggot.
Yeah.
you were with a bitch.
Yes, not my bitch.
You were someone else's bitch.
I was escorting someone else's bitch. No, lovely lady.
Did you get? That was what I used to go for the cinema for when I was a teenager. Was to get a little.
Yeah.
Did you get beaten off in the cinema?
You got wanked off in the cinema.
I got wanked off every time when I was a teenager.
What?
Every time we went to the cinema.
What are they pumping in the cinema in Great Britain?
Yeah, for real. That was what you did as a tween.
You
go to the cinema and you get beaten off.
Well, we didn't have a cinema on the islands.
Yeah.
We had to like go to a, we had to fly to another island
to
watch a movie, and this was like 3 or 4 times a year.
But no one even like set up a little projector or whatever, like.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we did have HBO. We did like it.
Did you all gather around a CRT television in the street and sing karaoke?
No, it wasn't that kind of, no. I don't know, maybe they did and I wasn't invited. So, you know, I didn't get whacked off in the cinema. I feel like I missed out.
Every time. Not even kidding.
Damn. That's pretty cool. Did you do the cock in the popcorn?
Cock in the pop. No need for that. Not when everyone in the cinema is beating someone up.
Do people actually do that, or is that just a film trope? Because like, you just get your dick and pubes covered in like fucking molten butter, right?
Yeah, but they don't have molten butter on popcorn in the cinemas in the UK. So yeah, but technically you could.
They are. You can't get buttery popcorn in cinemas.
Nay.
You can't.
Salted or sweet. Only buy here.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't know because I never get fucking popcorn at the cinema.
Never get beaten
off. It's a fucking scam.
No, it's worth it though. It's worth it as a scam.
No, just bring in your own bag of Tesco popcorn, like some midget gems. Do they still call them midget gems?
Midget gems. No, they don't.
No, they're pretty messed up that they still called them midget gems. But I remember them being called midget gems back in
what was
2009.
What was it we called them? Shortman.
Sure. Yeah, we're gonna need an actual Shortman to like to
test
approve
out on.
So when you were getting whacked off, like, you being distracted from the movie, though.
You didn't go to the movie to watch whatever fucking trash is on.
Wait, so you just went to see whatever, just like rubbing your hands, being like, I'm about to get jacked off.
You're a horny fucking tween. Of course you guys. Yeah.
You're not horny for art.
Whatever some bitch wants to go and see. Yeah. And they just, halfway through, they beat you off.
Damn.
Yeah.
I missed out.
You did miss out, yeah. Those were the days. If anyone wants to whack me off in a cinema, just get real retro with it.
Yeah.
Vintage. They've probably got like heat seeking wank cameras in the cinema now.
Yeah, so they can record you getting whacked off.
Yeah.
Oh, it seems...
Right in if you also you used to get jacked off in the cinema as a matter of course. That's what you did. That's what you did when you went to the cinema.
anime.goblinoid@gmail.com. It seems depressing to me to get like whacked off while a Marvel movie is playing, though.
No, we didn't have Marvel movies.
Like you like bust 20 minutes into the film, and then you're like
Adam Sandler movie.
watching 2 more hours of fucking Iron Man or whatever the fuck.
I mean, maybe that's why they do it. They show the least horny movies possible. I got whacked off to 50 First Dates.
Are you getting jacked off while Adam Sandler is doing his Adam Sandler thing on screen? Doing a woo-hee. And meanwhile, Joss is in their seat being like, woo, woo-hee, woo.
She's beating my pee-pee. My Franken beans.
Hand jobs are awesome.
Hand jobs are awesome. Popeye's hand jobs are awesome. You sure don't want to bet?
Yeah. No, I'm good. I'm good. I gotta be at work tomorrow. Awesome. Gotta be at the Tekken tournament tomorrow.
Some ASMR beer opening. Here you go. Mm. What would some bitch say to you if she was? Your dick is awesome.
Awesome.
Popeye's chicken is awesome. Can't do impressions.
Let's So where are you what do you rate Millennium Actress?
Oh, it was like a, it was a solid 9 out of 9 decades out of 10.
Yeah. Almost a perfect millennium. Is that that would be a century, wouldn't it? Like math not my strong suit. I'm gonna go ahead and give it a 10 out of 10. I'm feeling generous. This shit
tens,
hits me
tens,
each time.
Tens, tens, tens.
Like for every
pussycat, meow, meow.
For every scene that I recognize now, there are like so many more that I don't recognize, and I'm gonna go to Wikipedia and like do all the Googling, and I'm gonna watch some fucking Kino. Watch some Japanese post-war Kino, and
you ever been to a sex Kino? We tried to get into a sex Kino in Hamburg, but they wouldn't let us in.
Why didn't they let you in?
I don't know.
Weren't sexy enough? Did you show them your hand job in the cinema credentials? Like, what's going on here? I'm going to the cinema to get beat off. Come on, what is this? No, I haven't been to a fuck Kino.
Mm-hmm. Sex Kino.
Where they play like a porn on the big screen?
Yeah, weird, right?
Yeah. Like, and you can like watch it all the way through? Like,
stay for the credits.
Like,
or you got to try and beat off right to get the climax right at the end. Like, and goon it all the way through.
Oh, gross.
Do you spaff off and then sit there and watch the rest?
No, you just like walk out and like just say thank you very much for the lovely cinematic experience. Mm-hmm. But if they were going to carry that into the modern age, like what they should do is like just do like 5 minute snippets of porn and like move on to the next one after 5 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. Like, who is watching? Who has watched? Write to us if you've watched a full porn of anything. If you watched like a full Pornhub video, I'd like to hear. Okay. Actually, no, don't, because you just get like a bunch of emails from gooners, wouldn't you? Like people that
we'll take anything
whack off, but don't nuts, which is
you know all about
fucking weird. No, I don't. I'm trying to bust so I can feel normal again. So I can sleep.
You know what's the fucking worst? When that doesn't work. When you when it's fucking 3 a.m. You still haven't been able to get to sleep. So you're like, fuck yeah, I'm gonna fucking knock one out. Then you knock one out, you still can't fucking sleep.
Yeah.
Feel swizzed.
Yeah. That's swizzed. That's a fucking
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah. That's when I go downstairs and I get myself a cup of Sleepy Girl tea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't know, Dozy Girl. Sleepy Girl, Dozy Girl tea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that like code for GHB?
No, but maybe I should. maybe I should start roofieing myself to get sleep. God, I had a week recently where I just did not sleep. Yeah. Should start roofieing myself.
Maybe.
Yeah.
No, don't roofie yourself. just practice good sleep hygiene. All right, so we've watched a lot of anime series so far, like 12 episode series. I'm very proud of you for getting through all of them. But we're gonna switch gears. We're gonna watch some movies. We're gonna delve into some anime kino. I think we are gonna watch Ghost in the Shell for next week.
I'll take it. Yeah, I haven't seen it for years and years. And
yeah,
years.
Yeah, yeah. No, it always comes up in conversation around the anime classics, the goats of anime, if you will. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason for that.
One of the goats.
Yeah. One of the goats.
Fuck that shit.
There's a reason for
now
that.
So now we're.
It's a fantastic fucking film, and yeah, I can't wait to talk with you about it.
Cool.
All right, let's wrap this one up.
It ain't funny, but it's true.
anime.goblinoid@gmail.com.
No one knows what a goblinoid is.
Josh still has Anime Now Chan in bondage, not the sexy kind of bondage, the confinement kind. If you want to see her free and making awesome tunes, you're gonna have to send us an email.
People might think I take pity on an anime chan by now, but if I say I'm gonna do something, I fucking stick to it.
Yeah.
I'm a bitch of my word. I'm a stubborn asshole.
Hell yeah. And we're anime@animenow69 on X.
X? What's X?
It's your dad's website. Doing a great job over there. Thank you, Papa.
Thank you, Papi.